Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
If you would open your Bibles to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. We're doing a series right now called No Substitute. And I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed it. Amen. I've really enjoyed the messages that I got to share. And then last week, the message that Apostle shared. Very, very positive messages for us and very important for the time that we're in. As I continue that today in this series, I want to share this passage with you of Scripture that I think really ties a lot together and shows you one more thing that, of course, there's not a substitute for. But in the book of Mark, if you would find the 9th chapter starting in verse 14. Starting in verse 14, I'm going to read a few passages here of Scripture for you. It says, When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. And then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." And Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. And he replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." And when Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said. "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." And then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. And afterwards, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" And Jesus replied, "This kind can be cast out only by prayer and fasting." Some versions of Scripture leave out the word fasting in this part. But it's said in many manuscripts that it is prayer and fasting. One thing that there is no substitute for is prayer and fasting. There's not a substitute for prayer and fasting. You know, a lot of times people try to find substitutes for these things because we don't like to pray a lot. "Well, it's hard for me to pray. We don't like to fast." So we try to find, what else can I do? You know? And we constantly began to look at things why we can't do this. "Well, you know, I can't fast because I take medicine. I can't fast because I got this illness. I can't fast because I work a hard job. I can't fast because..." The list goes on and on and on. We always try, the cop-out of that we try to have is, because we're soft as Christians sometimes, is we say, "Well, what can I do then? What do you recommend? What should I do?" No, it says pray and fast. There's not a substitute for it. We can't do something else. we have to pray and fast. You know, especially if we are looking to be used by God. Here, anybody want to be used by God? Someone say, I'm a vessel, God. Fill me up, use me, hallelujah. But then we walk in and we're like the disciple. Why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we cast out? Apostle, you're talking about blind eyes, opening deaf ears, and we believe in for signs, wonders, and miracles. But I'm telling you that these miracles and miraculous signs don't happen unless the people of God are ready to pray and fast. Amen? Why couldn't we? I don't want that to be us. I don't want us to get to heaven one day and Jesus say, look what your church could have been. Look at the miraculous signs that I wanted to perform there. But you wouldn't pray and fast. I don't want that to be us. I don't want him to look at that, because I'm not saying Jesus won't do it, but he'll send someone else down the street that's willing to pray, that's willing to fast, that's willing to do what he's called them to do. He'll draw people there. You know, God draws people where the Spirit of God is. There's a drawing in. And if we are doing what God has called us to do, making those disciplines necessary, people will be drawn here. And because we pray, because we fast, because we're open to the Holy Spirit having his way, we'll see signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen? But we have to pray and fast. The reason for the disciples' failure, it wasn't their humanity versus his deity. A lot of times people try to justify, well, you know, I'm just a human, but God was God. It wasn't a gap between his humanity and his deity. He was fully God and fully man. But he turns to his disciples. If that was the case, he wouldn't have turned to them and said, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? Because he told them these are the things. He sent them out to do those things. You know, when Troy and his evangelism team goes to the courthouse square, guess what? They can still see signs, wonders, and miracles there. Why? Because they're being sent out. They don't have to just bring in the sick to the church. They can begin to lay hands on them and see them recover right there in the street of Bartstown. Amen? How many want to see that? How many think that's signs, wonders, and miracles of God moving? You know, that's what we should expect. And it's because it's not about where you're at. It's not about the gap between how spiritual, you know, you think you are and how spiritual God must have been. The only thing that we can do is close that gap by our faithfulness and our dedication to him. That's the only thing that closes that gap. Because some people just aren't willing to pray. Some people aren't willing to fast. Some people aren't willing to get into the Word of God. But yet they say, oh, I want to see the miracles. I want to see God move. If you want to see God move, you have to do what it takes. You have to be dedicated, as the Word says. You know, when he called them faithless, he looked at them. And verse 19, he said, you, faithless people, how long must I be with you? That shows you right there is what we said. There's no substitute for faith. It confirms Apostle's word last week. There's no substitute for you. Got to have faith. He rebuked them time and time again for being faithless. Look at Mark chapter 4 real quick. I'll come right back to 9. Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. It says, now a great windstorm developed and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was nearly swamped. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we are about to die? So he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, be quiet, calm down. And the wind stopped, and it was dead calm. And he said to them, why are you cowardly, and do you still not have faith? I tell you, we have to realize there's no substitute for these things. And God is wondering why the church is still cowardly not to stand up to do what he's called them to do. But yeah, we got to be full of faith. We got to have what God desires us to have. We can't be faithless any longer. We can't be those that the Lord looks at and says, why are you cowardly? Why do you sit back? Why won't you make a difference? Why won't you make a difference in Bardstown? Well, you know, I don't know what people say about me. You know, if I went out there and started preaching on the courthouse square, they may, you know, say something about me. Well, that's that church that gets that cross and walks down Main Street. I mean, I don't know. People may hackle us. I don't know what they'll say about me. We cower sometimes. We see someone that needs prayer, that's hurting. And instead of helping them, instead of praying for them, because, well, I didn't want to do it at the ball game. Well, I didn't want to do it at the grocery store. I mean, I invited them to church, you know. I've seen it a lot. You see all these things on Facebook, and I saw it this week. And every time I see these copy and share and paste, first of all, if y'all send that to me, I don't do it. And because it means nothing when people do that. But anyway, I saw one this week, and it was all talking about, oh, you know, this big article, this big thing about, you know, if you're hurting and you're suffering, call me anytime. If it's 3 a.m, it's better to call me than, you know, it's talking, I guess, about depression or anxiety. I don't know what it was even talking about. But I got to the point that I'm like, you know what? We sit there and we say all this, but when it's time, when someone's hurting, do we reach out right then and there? Do we say, you know what? Well, let me tell you, but you just come to my church and, you know, I'll get the pastor to pray for you in a week. No. It's Monday. They may not see Tuesday. We got to take them by the hand and lead them in a prayer. Because we can't be cowardly any longer in the church. It's time that the church, you are the church. I'm not the church. It's time that the church rise up and be who God called us to be. Jesus, who spent all this time with his disciples, questions them and rebukes them over and over for being cowardly and being faithless. How much more do you think he wants us to have faith and be strong in the word? Because in verse 29 of Mark 9, it says, this kind can be cast out only by prayer and fasting. Because prayer and fasting increases your faith. And there's no substitute for that. We must fast. That's not the fun thing. That's not what everybody likes to do. But we must fast. If apostles' words stirred you last week and you began to say, well, I don't have that kind of faith, this is how you increase your faith. This is how you increase your faith. This is how you stir your faith. Well, I want more faith, but you think it's just going to be handed out on Sunday morning like dollar bills. You know? The word goes forth, but you have to digest it. You have to take it and get into it and do what it says. So if I'm telling you today that the word of God says we must fast, when you leave here today, you can't say that was a good word. You have to say, I'm going to fast. Do you understand? That's what we have to apply the word of God to our life. You don't just get a passed out increase of faith just because you showed up on Sunday. It doesn't work that way. I wish it did. Sometimes. Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah? I mean, I the way I grew up, I'd have a bank of faith, man. My parents have made me be in church every Sunday since I was, I don't know how old, you know? I'd have a bank. Some of you would be depleted. I'm just saying. But it don't work that way. Hallelujah. And we can start now by increasing our faith, by being faithful to the word. Jesus fasted. In Luke chapter 4, we see that Jesus fasted. In verses 1 and 2 of Luke chapter 4, it says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He just got baptized, right? And he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. If you fast for 40 days, you're going to be hungry. If you fast for 24 hours, you're going to be hungry. Because the first thing that happens when you've made up your mind and says, today I'm going to fast, guess what? You've never been so hungry in all your life. You know, you could never eat breakfast, never ever eat a burrito in the morning, but the day you wake up and say, I'm going to fast today. Oh my gosh, you just decide that Taco Bell breakfast burrito is screaming your name. I mean, you are so hungry, you know, immediately because you've said, I'm going to fast. And you're going to become very hungry. That's what's going to happen. That's the first thing people always ask. Well, what's going to happen if I fast? You're going to get hungry. That's what's going to happen. That's the first thing that's going to happen. Okay? Because our body, it's just like when Jesus brought his disciples into the garden, it says the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. Oh, yeah, because we talk about this sometimes, and our flesh gets really weak really fast. Well, I got to have nourishment. Yeah. Yeah, we got to have nourishment. You know, we think we got to. Jesus was hungry. Jumping down to verse 14 in Luke chapter 4. See, Jesus went on his 40-day fast, and Satan tempted him over and over because he's gonna throw things your way. He's going to throw things your way if you are fasting. But it says in verse 14, then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power, because something happens when you fast. He fills you up. You empty out yourself, but God fills you up. You can empty out all the things and all the distractions that you've got going on, but when you fast and when you pray, God fills you with the Holy Spirit's power. Amen? He wants to fill his church. He wants to fill his people, but it comes at a price. It comes with lessening ourselves, putting ourselves in submission, dedicating ourselves to the Lord, and letting the Holy Spirit fill us. We try too much to operate on our own gifts, talents, and abilities. That's us needing nourishment to do what we want to do. But when we empty ourselves of ourselves, the Holy Spirit fills us with what we need. All of a sudden, you just begin to speak, and words come out of your mouth. You're like, man, I didn't even know that was inside me. It's not. It's the Holy Spirit inside you. He's filled you up. When people come in, I just feel wore out. I feel drained. I feel tired. Let the Holy Spirit fill you up. There's no strength and no increase like what the Holy Spirit does. You know? And that's what we have to get back to. We have to get back. If we desire to be full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit's power, then we don't have to close a deity gap, because we won't. We have to close the dedication gap. We got to get a little more dedicated to the Lord. We're never going to be God, so we ain't closing a deity gap. We're closing a dedication gap. We have to understand him more. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He'll draw near to you. So we've got to begin to draw near to God. There's certain things that only allow us to draw near to God more. Fasting and prayer is one of those. Galatians 5, verse 17 says, for the flesh has desires that are opposed to the Spirit, and the Spirit has desires that are opposed to the flesh. For these are in opposition to each other, so that you cannot do what you want. You know, I see so many people. Wonderful people, Christian people that love God, and they desire so much for God to use them. They desire to see signs, wonders, and miracles. They do. Their spirit man inside of them is desiring to be used by God. How many want to be used by God? Amen. There are so many people that want to be used by God, and then they find out what it takes to be used by God. They found out that, you mean I can't do what I want to do all the time? You mean Easter and Christmas, I got to be in church? What? You mean that I got to set my vacation where I leave on a Sunday after church and I get back on a Saturday night and come to church again? Dedication gap closing in. I mean, my last vacation, folks, I took one Sunday off, landed Saturday night at 3 a.m. in Cincinnati, and drove home and preached to you the next Sunday morning. And I didn't get up and go, oh, bless Jesus, I'm tired today. No, because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit's power, because I've done what it takes. I've closed the dedication gap. But our spirit man has desires. Our spirit man wants to see these things. I don't believe there's a person in here that doesn't want to see God's spirit poured out. I don't believe there's a person in here that doesn't want to see Bardstown saved. I believe you all do. I don't believe there's a person in here that doesn't want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. I believe you all do. I believe that you want to see deaf ears open and blind eyes open and those that are in wheelchairs standing up and walking. Amen? I believe we want that. I believe you desire that. The Word of God says we can see that. Do you know? It says we can see it, but we can't be cowardly. We can't be faithless. And we have to be dedicated to it. We have to do what the Spirit of God says when it says, this can only happen by prayer and fasting. You want to see these things. Your spirit can be willing, but you got to bring that flesh into some submission. Oh, I was with you until then. Oh, it's hard. It's hard. Fasting and prayer takes the flesh and puts it into submission. You know, I love my dog. And it was National Dog Day the other day. You know, Tiffany shared a picture of our dog. I just don't have to. He's always on my phone. But you know what? Every once in a while, I have to take that dog and put him into submission. I have to let him know every once in a while that there's a bigger alpha dog in the house. Right? I have to get that dog and hold him down every once in a while and just let him know who's boss, right? I'm bringing him into submission so that when I speak, he understands my voice and obeys. We have to bring our flesh into the same type of submission. You know, when I was 18, my dad tried to show me again that he was still the alpha dog in the house. Because when I was about 6, I told him. I looked at him, Dick, and I said, you wait, because when I'm 18, I'm going to whoop your butt. That's what I told him. He come walking through the kitchen one day with a smile on his face. I didn't like that smile. I knew that smile. I didn't know what was going to happen. And as he reached up, he grabbed me right here on my shoulder and just went on the ground. And he said, well, I thought you were 18. There was no whooping his butt that day. He had to let me know. He had to still bring, you may be 18, but you still live in my house, and I'm bringing you into submission. I'm still the alpha dog in this house. But you know, we're not willing to do that with our own selves. We let ourselves run wild. You don't realize you have to bring yourself into submission. Sometimes you're willing to bring yourself into submission if the doctor gave you a bad report. If you go to the doctor and he says, well, you can't have sugar or you're going to die. Oh, why better not have sugar? You can't have caffeine or this is going to happen. You can't have this because of your cholesterol. You can't. We better put it in submission. The doctor said so. But the Word of God asks us to bring our bodies into submission. Well, I don't really have to do that. I don't really want to do that. It's not really the same thing. No, it's more so important that we bring ourselves into submission with what God says, what He wants us to do. But bringing yourself into submission isn't fun. It wasn't quite enjoyable for me. When my dad dropped me on that floor at 18 and reminded me I still couldn't whoop him, I'm sure that dog of mine, when I hold him down, he gets a little frustrated at first and he finally gives up. All right, you're the boss. Getting into submission isn't fun. It's discipline. It takes discipline. But after we began to do these things, we began to see how God is moving in our life. You know, fasting is something that there's not a substitute for. When you look where Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, there are three things here that he said there's no substitute for. There's no substitute for these three things. And he expects his followers to do these things. If you call yourself a follower, a disciple of Christ, he expects you to do these things. In Matthew chapter 6, he says, when you give. That's what he starts off with. When you give. Apostle and I both took up the offering and told you about when you give, that it is, there's no substitute for it. He didn't say if you give. He said when you give, because it is an expectation, if you're a follower of Christ, that I'm a giver. I'm a cheerful giver too. Didn't give very many amens. Hallelujah. Lord, get Karen up here to bring that joy back out. He said in number two, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray. When you pray, because if you're a follower of Christ, he expects you to pray. Not just over your meal, not just over your food. He expects you to pray. When you pray. There's no substitute for prayer. If there was a substitute for these things, he would have given you one. He made a substitute for sacrifice, right? We don't have to make sacrifices because he made a substitute when he died on a cross and rose again. But he said here, when you give, when you pray. And he said, and when you fast. When you fast. We need to begin to have a life of fasting. A life of fasting. In a writing of Polycarp, a disciple of John the Revelator, written around 150 AD, he wrote to the church of Philippi, "Let us turn back to the word which was delivered to us in the beginning, watching unto prayer and persevering in fasting, beseeching the all-seeing God in our supplications, even as the Lord said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." See, manuscripts and writings have shown us through time that the disciples fasted 2 days a week. Every week they fasted 2 days. It wasn't their diet, it was their commitment. They had a commitment to the Lord to fast. And they fasted 2 days a week. Too many people have turned fasting into a trendy diet. Or they build it up even to just a big one-time-a-year event. But fasting needs to be a regular part of our lives. We really need to get to a regular part of our lives with fasting. It needs to be something that we say we're going to do. It can be weekly. It can be 3 days of the 3 days a month. It can be a 6-to-6 fast. It can be 2 24-hour periods. It can be 1 24-hour period. There's different types of things that you can do to fast. You can fast for a week, 7 days. You can fast for 21. It can be longer if you want to do a fast once or twice a year. But you have to make a goal and stick to it. That's what fasting is. It says, I'm going to fast. This is what I'm going to do. I made a goal, and I'm going to stick to it. You know, some people fasted this year for the first time. And some did what they thought they never could do. I was very proud of you. Many of you did a lot this year and said, man, I never knew I could do that. Many of you went way longer than you ever had before, fasted more than you ever had before, and it was the first time, and that's fantastic. But I want to let you know, it's not a one-time event that we do. And it really shouldn't be a once-a-year thing we should do. It should be a regular part of our lives, because we don't need to grow closer to God one time a year. We don't need to be filled with the Holy Spirit's power one time a year. I mean, it's wonderful that we do this at the beginning of the year and focus for what the Lord wants for us for the year. For the things that God is setting us up for the year. But guess what? I still face problems on Monday morning. Right? September still could be a hard month. February may not, January's fast may not make it to February for me. I don't know. We got to make it a regular part of our lives. We have to begin to engage in this discipline. And if we do, we will see the Lord's favor in our life. And we will see the Holy Spirit moving in our midst. When we fast. I began to even be more convicted on this as I was reading Matthew 6 and realized, I don't give one time a year. I don't pray one time a year. Why do I reserve fasting for one time a year? You know, I talked to my wife last night and I said, this is something I've been praying about and looking into and realizing we need more of it. And I said, here's what I want to do. I've made a commitment. You have to make a commitment. You have to set a goal. You have to say, this is what I'm going to do. Because if you don't, you won't do it. But I said, we're going to fast every Sunday from 6 until Monday at 6. And if next week is a Sunday evening and I can't fast because I've already put a church event on, then I'll fast all day Monday. I'll just shift it to a 24-hour period. But that's what works for me. That may not work for you. But once a week, every day, I'm going to fast. Every week, I'm going to fast 24 hours. I'm making a commitment to fast 24 hours every week. Just at that, that's going to be 52 days of fasting. And we'll do more when we do a corporate fast. But you have to make a commitment to personally fast, to personally grow. But Hebrews 12:11 tells us, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. Matter of fact, it says it's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. We have to train ourselves to fast. We have to train ourselves in this discipline. I'm not asking you to make a goal that you can't keep. That'd be the worst thing for you. If I said, you need to set a time of fasting, and I said, well, you got to do this, and you got to fast 3 days every week. You may not be able to do that. Set something you can do. The goal that I set is a goal I know I can keep. I know that I can keep that goal, that I can fast from 6 to 6. I know I can keep that 24-hour period. And if I can't, I know I can shift it back and fast Monday all day. I can do that. That's something I know I can do. I'm setting myself up for success. But here's 5 reasons why it will fail for you. Number 1, not understanding the power or purpose of fasting. If you don't understand the power that the Holy Spirit will fill you with, if you don't understand the purpose of fasting, it won't be successful. Because the first thing you have to understand is the why. Why am I fasting? I'm not just fasting because it says so, which it does, but I'm fasting so that I can be filled with the Holy Spirit's power. That I can be a vessel that He is willing to use for signs, wonders, and miracles. That's why I'm fast. I know the purpose of it. I know that as I sacrifice my flesh, that I'll draw near to God, and He'll draw near to me. I understand the purpose. You won't be successful if you don't understand the purpose. You won't be successful if you don't understand the power. So if you're here today and you say, well, I don't know, you find someone who does. You find someone that understands fasting. You find someone who's been successful in fasting. And you talk to them. You ask them questions. Hey, how can I be successful? Number 2, you will not be successful in a fast if you fail to read God's word. You will not be successful if you don't read this word. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You won't be successful, whether it's a 24-hour period or 12-hour period. You won't be successful in sustaining it if you don't read the word of God. Number 3, You will not be successful in your fasting if you do not pray. Fasting should always come with prayer. Because if you're fasting and you're not praying, you're just going hungry. You need to pray. You need to have time to get into God's word and have time to pray. You won't be successful. You won't be able to sustain it and keep it going if you're not praying. Number four, you will not be successful in your fast if you do not separate yourself. There will always be something that comes up to interrupt your fast. Always. I want to tell you, it's always someone's birthday. It's always a work event. Someone always has a work dinner, a work lunch. I'm telling you, somebody will always bring donuts in. Well, I didn't want to hurt their feelings. They brought donuts. You got to separate yourself. There will always be a family get-together. Things always come up. So you have to set it where you can be successful and realize things are going to come up. And if you're like me, you had to make that little bit of a contingency plan. That's what I did. I said, well, I'm going to do my Sunday to Monday, 24 hours. But if I know I got something on Sunday, I'll do all day Monday. I can do that and be successful. But something always comes up if you don't separate yourself. I have had to go to work meetings and drink water and watch people eat. I've had to do it. And they sit there and they go, well, I couldn't do that. And I'm like, I know you couldn't do that. Because you won't separate yourself. Now I'm not going in going, oh man, that looks so good, I'm hungry. Jesus didn't ask you to do that. He said, wash your face and fix your hair. Look good. You know? But be separate. Separate yourself. Dedicate yourself. If you won't separate yourself, you won't be successful. Promise. Whatever day you pick, that's going to be the day that someone brings in food. It just happens. So you have to decide, I'm still not eating. That doesn't constitute me breaking my fast. Because it's a time of dedication. You will not be successful. Number five, you will fail if you don't start. Pretty simple. You got to set a goal and begin. You got to set a goal and begin. You got to do it. You got to say, this is something I want to do. I have to set a goal and begin. You have to say, this is when I can do it. This is when I know I can be successful. And be successful. I believe you can do it. And I believe that if you would get a hold of this principle, that there is no substitute for. The substitute is, and let me clarify something before I go on. Let me clarify something about this fast. I'm talking a fast. No food. Not fill up on cucumbers and tomatoes. Not eat tater tots, Mark. I'm talking, you pick a time when you can say, I will not eat. And I will have liquids only, I will drink water, and I will drink juice or whatever you need, and I will fast. A fast is no food. When you go to the doctor, and he says, I need you to fast before you come in for surgery. You don't get to eat popcorn the night before and say, it was just popcorn. You know? You don't get to eat vegetables and say, it was just vegetables. No, it was a fast. We're not softening it. We are bringing our flesh into submission. So we ain't substituting a fast for vegetables or a fast for TV. We aren't fasting TV. We're fasting food. Because those that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Isaiah chapter 58. Starting in verse 3. Says, "We have fasted before you," they say. "Why aren't you impressed? We've been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it." "I will tell you why," I responded. "It is because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me." Look, there is a fasting that doesn't please the Lord. If we're fasting to put it on Facebook, it doesn't please the Lord. If we're fasting, but you're still fighting and quarreling at home, it doesn't work. If you're fasting, but you're still lying and cheating, it doesn't work. It doesn't please the Lord. It says stop fighting and quarreling and stop oppressing others. It says humble yourself, verse 5. You humble yourself by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourself with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will heal quickly. I want to switch a version real quick. Stay right there. Isaiah. In the verse was that? Thank you. Verse 8 in the NET, I just really like the way that says this. It says, "Then your light will shine like the sunrise." Your light will shine. There's something that happens when you fast. The light will break forth. Your light will begin to shine. There's something that happens when you fast. The light will break forth. How many have ever said, "Man, this is hard to understand when I read. I don't understand certain books. I don't understand certain things." It's okay. We've all been there. We've read it. I don't know if I understand that part. When you fast and read, light burst forth. Revelation comes off the page. You know, your light will shine forth and your restoration will quickly arrive. Your godly behavior will go before you. And the Lord's splendor will be your rear guard. And then you will call out to the, and the Lord will respond. You will cry out and he will reply, "Here I am." You must remove the burdensome yoke from among you and stop pointing fingers and speaking sinfully. You must actively help the hungry and feed the oppressed, and then your light will dispel the darkness, and your darkness will be transformed into noonday. The Lord will continually lead you. He will feed you even in parched regions. When you fast, look at that. When you fast, the Lord will lead you, and he will feed you in parched regions. That means when things are tough, when trials are happening in the world around you, but you're fasting and you're praying, God is going to lead you from glory to glory, from blessing to blessing, from favor to favor, right? You will be fed in parched regions, and he will give you renewed strength and you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring that continually produces water. Your perpetual ruin will be rebuilt. You will reestablish the ancient foundations. You will be called the one who repairs broken walls, the one who makes the streets inhabitable again. When we fast, when the church, when we decide that we will fast, we will see this promise from God. We will see this blessing from God. You know, it's impossible for you to do what God's called you to do, to be a giver, to pray, and to fast, and not receive the blessings of the Lord. When you do these things, He will do what He said. That is His blessing. That is His promise to you. I'm going to close with this scripture out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. It says, "But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription, 'The Lord knows those who are His.' And all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust, and instead pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts." What will fasting do? It'll make you a utensil for special use. It'll make you one that the Master can pull out and say, "I have something special for you. You are honorable before me because you have kept your commitment, your dedication to fasting and prayer." I believe that if we will catch these things that there are no substitute for, we saw in Mark 9 when we read, First of all, He rebuked their faithlessness. But when He spoke to the evil spirit, He took authority. He took authority. And then He told them to fast and pray. Because the things we've been sharing with you in this No Substitute series are that you have the authority. You can have the faith when you fast and pray. And if you do these things, there's no stopping. There's no stopping you. There's nothing that can hold us back from doing what God has called us to do. I want us to be utensils for special use. I want the Lord to look down in Bardstown, Kentucky at Faith Worship Center and say, "That is a utensil for honorable use. I can bless them with the funds to build that building because I know they'll fill it with the gospel. I know that it'll be an outreach center, so I can bless them." When we fast and pray and believe God to bring the funds in for that, He'll do it. But we have to close that dedication gap. We have to bring our flesh into submission and begin to draw near to God so that He speaks to us and He guides us and He directs us. I understand the fasting for some of us, for some of you maybe that haven't done it, may seem like a big task. But once you do it, and you begin to read, and you begin to pray, all of a sudden you realize, man, I could go another day. You know, I could do another. I mean, I remember times growing up when my dad would fast 21 days, and all of a sudden he'd feel so good after it. He's like, "I think I'm just going to keep on going." And I'm going, "I think I want Taco Bell." You know? But when you fast and pray, the Lord will strengthen you. He'll strengthen this church. if you can make a commitment to fast and pray. I've made my commitment. I talked to my wife. We came into an agreement. I'm going to tell you this other thing. Men, come into an agreement on your wife so you can do it at the same time. Don't you say you want to fast on Monday and she's fasting on Tuesday, but she's got to cook for you on Monday. Come into agreement. Do this together. It'll bring you closer together in your marriage. Get your kids to participate where they can. It'll bring you closer together as a family. But I promise, when you fast, God will pour out such blessings on you, you'll walk in a newfound favor this year. So I'm not asking you to wait to January. I'm asking you to start today. Start this week. Make a decision. Set a goal. You'll fail if you don't. Set a goal. Make a plan. Be committed to it. The Lord will look back and say, they were faithful. They kept it. They did what they said they would do. Pray about it, what you can do. And I know the Lord will bless you. Amen. Let's close. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, as you challenge us with your word, Lord, as you stretch us to do the things you've called us to do, to fast, to pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen us, you'll give us the strength to do what you've called us to do, you'll bless us, Father God. The new revelations will come to us, Lord, as we read your word and as we pray. Father, I ask for those that will make a commitment today. We'll sit down and make a goal and a plan that will begin to fast, Lord Jesus. That, Lord, you'll bless them this year. This will be the best year they've ever had. Lord, that their marriage will be stronger this year than it's ever been. That their kids will be obedient, submissive. Lord, that they'll be hungry for you. Lord Jesus, I ask you just create a hunger and desire in your people. Lord, as we draw near to you through fasting and through prayer, that you will draw near to us, that you'll fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, and as we make this commitment as a body, as a church, to do this together, to make this commitment, Father God, I ask that you look down upon Faith Worship Center as a utensil for honorable use, Lord, that we will begin to see signs, wonders, and miracles happen in this place, Father God, because we are dedicated, Father God, to do what you've called us to do. Look down and see our hearts, Father God, as we desire to be used by you, and we are willing to be dedicated for your use. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to remind you again before you leave. Sign up. Let us know you'll be here. And add an extra. Invite someone. Invite another couple. Invite a couple people. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great outreach next week for Farm to Table. We're very excited about it. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.